Hello, it's the 25th of August 2015. Welcome to another episode of the PeterWrightsBlog.com podcast from Peter Wright, the spoken and written word artist who believes it's not what happens to you in life, it's what you do about it that counts. Today's post is titled Conflict, Adversity and Success. There were two triggers for today's post. At first, they seem poles apart. One is about history from an article in a newspaper, the other about sport from an online article, both reinforcing my contention that conflict and adversity are necessary for growth, advancement and success. One offering clues for the current problems in the European community and possibly the USA, problems that may lead to major changes in both regions in the years ahead. The other, perhaps, reflecting a growing disenchantment with the politically correct, damaging attitude of rewarding attendance, not achievement, in children's sport. In a column in the National Post, Robert Fulford quotes from the book Why Did Europe Conquer the World by Philip Hoffman, a California Institute of Technology economic historian. There's links to those in the blog. Hoffman agrees on the point made by Jared Diamond in Guns, Germs and Steel that the Europeans' superior weapons were the major reason for European nations colonizing much of America, Asia and Africa. He does not seem to give the same weight to Diamond's support of exotic diseases introduced by the colonizers to native populations with no resistance being a major factor. Instead, he looks at the factors that drove the Europeans to develop those superior weapons. Why it should have been people in that small part of the world and not the Chinese who had invented gunpowder, or the Arabian people who were superior in mathematics. Why in the 900 years from the year 1000, the Europeans went from being uneducated and crude to ruling over 80% of the world's surface? The answer, he believes, is conflict and adversity. With no unity in Europe like the EEC of today, there was a state of almost constant warfare. Constant warfare among many small nations drove the improvement of weapons. It forced the design of better ships, more powerful firearms and cannons, weapons that were lighter, more maneuverable, and had longer ranges. The result was that small, mobile armies with huge firepower could overwhelm far larger numbers of defenders armed only with sticks, bows, and arrows. Huge colonies were created with few casualties among the invading forces. More effective weapons led to better strategies and tactics. Innovation in weapons design and manufacture led to advances in other areas, steam engines, railways, canals for transportation. Access to materials from foreign sources led to an expansion of commerce and wealth, which in turn drove more development. Those conflicts between European nations continued right up to World War II. That conflict advanced aircraft design, jet engine, radar, and wireless communication development enormously. The later Cold War period added urgency to the space race, computer and nuclear technology. Since then, there have been no Western European military conflicts. Eastern European conflicts have been largely localized and small-scale, Georgia and the Ukraine, often sparked by Russia's attempts to reassert itself as a superpower. Terrible adversity for those caught up in them, but not enough to kickstart big advances in any technology. The end of European conflict and adversity. Other conflicts around the world have been confined to small areas. Despite the huge cost in lives, infrastructure and materials, the conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan and Syria are not on the same scale. They're either between grossly mismatched opponents or between relatively unsophisticated armies using weapons invented in and provided by the West, or captured from other unsophisticated groups. There have been huge advances in many areas, communication, medicine, computers. However, in others, not so much. Cars have become faster, lighter, and safer, but still overwhelmingly have four wheels on the road and burn fuel derived from oil in internal combustion engines. Despite the claims by manufacturers, they are hardly any more fuel efficient than some of the carburetor-equipped models in the 1960s. Hoffman's argument that conflict and the adversity it creates drive innovation and progress is compelling. As I wrote in an earlier post, those same conditions helped South Africa and Rhodesia become world leaders in mining, heart transplants and agriculture. Constant threat from numerically superior forces is a major reason that Israel has become the most advanced nation in the Middle East. The same goes for Taiwan in the middle 20th century. The same is true for all of us on a personal level. When things are easy, the human mind gets distracted. In times of conflict, or when striving to overcome adversity, we achieve much more. The second trigger was an article about James Harrison, and there's a link there too, a linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers who made his sons return trophies they'd been awarded for just showing up to athletics practice. He said he's not sorry for believing that awards should be earned for succeeding, not just be given to whining kids to shut them up. So here's two points of view that conflict and adversity are part of life. They drive development in nations and in people. Without them, life is bland. By surviving, overcoming, and thriving on them, we succeed. Does this idea threaten the future of the EEC? The problems in Greece and the disenchantment in the UK with Brussels show that it's already threatened. Could the same apply to the USA? Would rumoured moves by interests in Texas and other states to secede from the Union succeed? Much might depend on who becomes the next president and what policies he or she follows. Does James Harrison's brave stand against rewarding mediocrity in sport signal a return to common sense and a move away from political correctness? Many questions, interesting times. What are your thoughts on conflict, adversity, and attendance trophies? Leave a comment. Until next time, this is Peter Wright.